On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Loaded and very special edition here of East Coast Bias, right here for your friends on FanDuel TV, of course, on the Ring of Gambling show feed. What a day, what a day, what a day. The long anticipated NFL draft of 2024. We have a very juicy double dip in the NBA later on this evening. Knicks Sixers game three, Lakers Nuggets game three. What do we have for an encore in each of those respective series? I'm not exactly fired up for Orlando and Cleveland, but hey, that's a story for a different day. Let's welcome in Raheem Palmer, Joe House, yours truly, John Jastrzemski. And there are a lot of juicy draft storylines. We'll get to the quarterbacks. We'll talk about who's maybe a guy to target, going to go a little earlier than anticipated, who's a guy that could look to fall potentially. But House, this is really your day. We don't have a Chicago person on the panel, and honestly, there's no juice there. We all know they're taking Caleb Williams. It's the worst kept secret in the world. Then we move on to number two. We have your team in a position to go and get their next franchise quarterback. We all know they're going to do that. Mr. Daniels, Mr. May, House, I think Mr. Daniels is going to end up being your quarterback, but kind of set the stage for us. How are you feeling here on this particular draft day, my friend?
I am bursting, JJ. This is the dawn of a new era. The first time in 25 years that the very good people of the DMV are ready to meet their brand new quarterback that is going to take us from the dark ages of an owner who shall not be named into this beautiful new stadium, potentially, but certainly a new era of sound decision makers, folks that aren't motivated by anything other than putting a winning product on the football field. And in that vein, I really feel like the DC C-words are ready to make a great pick that can't be a mistake, because whether you take Drake May, whether you take Jaden Daniels, both of those are wonderful selections. The markets believe that the Washingtons are taking Jaden Daniels because it's moved a ton over the last 24 hours, and I'm perfectly fine with that.
Well, Raheem, that's what it's going to be. I mean, unless the betting market is completely off base with how this is going to shake out, it sure looks like Daniels at 2 to Washington is going to happen, and then it comes down to whether or not the New England Patriots are going to be dumb enough to trade out of the number three pick. I think that's where the intrigue of this draft really gets going, my friend.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, when you look on FanDuel Sportsbook right now, they have these parlays where you can pick the exact three picks in order. And right now you have Caleb Williams, you have Jaden Daniels, and then you have Drake May minus 180. But there's so much uncertainty with that number three pick. We're not sure if they're going to take Drake May or they're going to trade it or they're going to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. Because I'm hearing that there are some teams who actually have J.J. McCarthy higher than Drake May. So anything could happen. And if you're on FanDuel Sportsbook right now, you're looking for wagers for that number three pick, you could almost play the long shots and try to make out well, because there's so much uncertainty right now.
No doubt about it. And, you know, Raheem, you look at McCarthy and you look at Penix. There's been a lot of J.J. McCarthy hype, and there are a lot of quarterback needy teams. The Vikings are looking for their next quarterback. Are the Giants trying to move up, even though I don't think they're in necessarily on McCarthy from what I've heard here in New York City. But are the Giants looking to maybe move up to three? You have Denver looking for a quarterback. You may have Vegas looking for a quarterback. So I'm almost of the mindset here, Dream, that we should be looking to get unders on a lot of these guys because of the need for the position. You may be graded, I don't know, 27th to 28th on a draft board, but hey, supply and demand, teams need quarterbacks. You got to jump somebody else in order to go get your guy. I think McCarthy and Penix, for that matter, are going to go way earlier than people think. I do.
Yeah, I mean, you could almost throw Bo Nix into that as well because so many teams need quarterbacks. You know, there are some people making the case for under 4.5 first-round quarterbacks, but I think Michael Lombardi came out and said that he already heard that there's going to be 6 quarterbacks drafted in the first round. So that's an interesting market that you see right now on FanDuel Sportsbook, and you're seeing the under 4.5 quarterbacks juice that plus 230 for a reason. So I think you're probably going to see a ton of quarterbacks in this first round.
Okay, so you have that narrative with the quarterbacks. House, I know you like to have fun with these draft props. What's one or two that has kind of caught your eye that we should be looking outside of your team? Who are certain maybe individuals? Maybe it's a position group. What is something that you're looking at?
So I'm in the draft parlay builder here at FanDuel Sportsbook. Literally a lab built for us degenerates who can't wait to get in and come up with fantastic combinations. And you can pair Joe Alt, the undisputed number one offensive lineman to be drafted, minus 900 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I'm trying to find a little value. And some of the research out there, if you want to go into team by team, and see what those folks that are on the ground are looking at. Go to Atlanta. Look at the Falcons. Some of the literature by folks on the ground there, there's a lot of thought that they are going to take the defensive lineman edge, Leiatu Latu, who is available at plus 175. Now, if you parlay Latu and Alt minus 950 plus 175, you're at plus 203. That's better than 2-to-1 odds on two legs of a some team building that seems certain to occur in the first 15 picks here.
I like that. And, you know, sometimes you can follow the rumblings that are out there and use it to your advantage as far as information that's at your disposal. There are other times, though, Raheem, where that information could lead you into a whole lot of trouble because it ends up being wildly inaccurate. The market moves a certain way. You're like, oh, there's no way this is going to be wrong. Bah, bah, bah. And then boom, you got massive egg on your face. I'll give you a guy I'm betting his under because I think he's going to end up as a top 10 pick. And I think he's profiling maybe as one of the best defensive players in this draft. Murphy, the defensive tackle out of Texas. There's going to be a lot of demand for him. They were talking about him a few weeks ago being the guy that might be there in the early 20s. Nonsense. I think he has top 10 pick. I think the Bears, I think the Falcons could look to him as somebody that could anchor their defense a la Quinnen Williams of the New York Jets. So that's one of the players, Raheem, I've pinpointed where I said, boom, Murphy under. I think he's going to end up being a top 10 pick. I think a guy who actually may not be a top 10 pick is Adunze out of Washington. And I know he got a lot of love in the early going of the draft process, but I feel like Harrison is going to go higher. I think Neighbors is going to go higher. I think Brock Bowers is going to end up with the Jets when it's all said and done. So I think Adunze may fall out of the top 10. So those are two I like. Murphy under, Adunze over. I'm playing both of them.
JJ, I actually had that written down as well.
Ooh, Byron Murphy. We did not compare notes. I promise you. I'm not cheating.
Yeah. That was under 14.5. It was minus 135. It's now juiced to minus 300. So that tells you how coveted this guy is coming out of Texas. And then I would add to that, you can get Byron Murphy, first defensive lineman edge drafted at plus 175. So you can get some plus money on that as well. And I also think you can get him as first defensive player drafted at plus 450. So those are ones that stood out to me. I'm hearing that all throughout the sharp community of bettors. So JJ, I think you're on the money for that. To give you another one, one that stands out to me, Brian Thomas. Speaking of information, his medicals got flagged. wide receiver out of LSU. This is supposed to be a deep wide receiver draft. I would go over 19 and a half because I just think his medicals are going to push him out of things.
That's an interesting one. You know, you have at the back half of this draft, you mentioned Thomas, and then you have the speedster Worthy out of Texas who had that insane 40 time. Two contending type teams, House. I think you're going to be in the market for wide receivers in the back half of the first round. Buffalo, because of the fact that Stephon Diggs is gone. I think in a perfect world, Buffalo would love to maybe trade up, but they're going to need some cooperation in order for that to take shape. Kansas City's another one. I mean, Kansas City might be looking at one of these guys. Like, if Worthy is there, they might be like, okay, you're going to be our next Tyreek Hill. Let's go, big boy. Let's see you run that 40. Mahomes will throw it as far as he can. So those are ones that I'll be, like, identifying as, like, you know, right on that cusp, right on that move. I think both of those guys don't end up being first-round picks for what it's worth.
I like it. I think it's perfectly fine. And you can still get in on a little bit of, you know, the quantity at position of, you know, the number of wide receivers that are going to be drafted, the number of quarterbacks that are going to be drafted. And this conversation that we're having, plus some of the intel, it's really pouring in now. You know, it's been a steady trickle for the past month, but it's coming from every direction. This idea of Penix in the first 32, if he's available on the FanDuel Sportsbook at over under 32 and a half, it is plus money at under 32.
Oh, I love that. How are they going to, unless the medicals are that bad on Penix, somebody's taking a chance on him, House. Like, these teams are so quarterback desperate. I'm in on that. I didn't realize it was that low. I'm betting that. I'm betting it immediately. I love it.
So you guys aren't, you're not concerned about his age as far as, you know, him being just.
I'm not saying that I'm not concerned, Raheem. I'm just telling you, he's going to end up being a first round pick because he played really well. I think he's going to wow you in an interview type setting. And there are a lot of desperate teams for a like, somebody, I think, Raheem, will take the chance. And if you want to tell me, hey, it won't happen in the first 15 picks, okay. I think then you'll see a team say, hey, he's still there at 21. Let's get our rear ends back up into the first round so we make sure so-and-so can't get him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair. That's definitely
and
fair.
And I tend to agree with that. I mean, the experience that we had this most recent season where we had 66 different starting quarterbacks, I think that we might be on the cusp of a new age in terms of the approach to quarterback. The version of the NFL that exists now with the pass heavy, all the protection for offense that's out there, you have to have solid quarterbacks at least two deep if you expect to do anything in this iteration of the NFL.
A lot of good stuff there, draft day. House, I know you're going to be set up here, dude, draft day, right? You got the draft. You got the basketball that we're going to preview in a little bit. You got the Capitals and the Rangers in game three. We'll see if the Rangers can lay another whooping on the Caps. We shall see. Are you excited for the spread that's going to be coming your way?
Absolutely, JJ. It's a momentous occasion here in the nation's capital. Not only is the FanDuel Sportsbook finally on premises, I can sit on my couch. I will tell you right now, I cooked up a beautiful game day parlay right here for all the DC peeps, the DMV peeps. We have the Caps going up against the Rangers, plus 1.5 goals. Let's be modest about it. The Rangers have been pretty good against these Caps so far. The Caps can't score on the power play, but plus 1.5, that's minus 182. If you pair that, and we've been talking about it, with Jaden Daniels as the number 2 pick in the NFL draft, that combo pays minus 124. Now, we're, you know, talking to our good pals at FanDuel. For the good people here in the nation's capital, maybe there's a boost. We will see what's out there. We're on the conversation. We're at the negotiating table right now. But if I had to go to a dinner table, it could be one of the spectacular sports bars establishments here in the nation's capital. It could be Penn Quarter Sports Tavern. That is minus 150. It's the top joint to sit down, watch your Caps, watch your draft, eat all to your heart's content. But if you really need to get in on some chicken wings, then Duffy's Irish Pub is your place. Now, they're closer to like even money. I'm not going to make you lay as much juice to go watch there because they might have some soccer on in the background. Fine by me. But, you know, and then if you go to the Nats
game.
Not on
Thursday night, though. You know what, though, House? Not on Thursday night. There's too much going on Thursday night. No soccer. No soccer at all.
I'm with you. I'm with you. But look, if you go to the Nats game, 4:05 start right here, Nationals Park.
Ooh, I like the 4:05 start. That's nice. That's convenient.
Yamamoto. The Dodgers are in town. It's Yamamoto up against Mackenzie Gore. If you walk out of that game, you can go right across the street to Walter's Sports Bar and get down for your draft, for your caps. Just make a day of it. You don't have to leave Navy Yard. That one, we'll put it at plus 110 just to make it nice and juicy, because not everybody's going to be able to get over there. There's some odds for your favorite sports bars, and that's the way we're going to play this game day parlay today, JJ, here in the nation's capital with the FanDuel Sportsbook, part of the action.
And I can't even root against it because you took the Capitals plus 1.5. I thought maybe you were going to get frisky and take them to win the game. But hey, let the Rangers go win by one goal, and everybody in our nation's capital at least will be happy, unless they want the Capitals to win, then they may not be so happy. But we shall see. All right, guys, we come back. Epic Monday in the NBA. So tonight, we will have Knicks Sixers game 3. We will have Lakers Nuggets game 3. Who's more likely to get themselves back into the series? We shall discuss coming up next. This NBA playoffs, FanDuel is giving all customers 2 chances to bring home a big win with a no sweat same game parlay every weekend of the playoffs. Just place an SGP on any playoff matchup and you'll get bonus bets back if you don't win. Bet on everything from rebounds to assists to 3-pointers and more. And FanDuel is now live in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Visit FanDuel.com/gamblers and shoot your shot on America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 plus, 18 plus in D.C., and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit rghelp.com. Opt-in required. Min 3-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. So Monday was hands down the best day we've had in the NBA postseason by an absolute landslide. We had an epic game 2 with the Knicks and the Sixers, where I'm still in stunned disbelief. And Raheem and I did a live stream after the game on the Ringer NBA channel. That was fantastic. I talked to all liquored up Knicks fans who I think are still dancing in the streets in New York after they won that game on Monday night. And then we had the Lakers yuck up a 20-point lead. And I hear LeBron, win, the officials win. Well, maybe LeBron don't miss a wide-open 3 and don't allow Jamal Murray to go and ice it and make it game-set match as far as the series being 2-0. Since Raheem and I have discussed this Knicks-Sixer game ad nauseum, I will defer to you on this. The Knicks are up 2-0 in this series. Jalen Brunson has been atrocious. He's shooting 25% from the field. But here's the bottom line. The Knicks know how to win. The Sixers know how to lose. The Knicks are tough. The Sixers are not. That's why this series is 2-0.
Whoa! I'm not sure I'm ready to go all the way there with you, JJ. The Sixers not tough. I think they're pretty tough. I think that what they've shown with an immobile Joel Embiid, I mean, I don't even think you could give him better than 50% in terms of how mobile he is. The poor guy is out there, you know, basically on one leg, rotating around trying to get rebounds. But having said all of that, both of these games came down to the very, very, very end. And to the Knicks' credit, they are able to get across the goal line. I will tell you right now, I am investing in the Sixers in game 3, and it's not a small investment. I'm laying the 4.5, and I am in the alt market spread. I am laying 9.5 with these Philadelphia 76ers at home. You get plus 178 on that alt spread. And let me tell you, from the starting point what we're talking about here. They got the raw end of some calls, especially in game two. I think when you get to Philadelphia and you get that Philly crowd going, I think we're going to see an entirely different style of officiating in this game. And I think that the Sixers are going to get rolling. Now, Jalen Brunson's ineffectiveness is not an accident. It is by design. And I've been very impressed with the way that the Sixers have chosen to defend him. And even if he gets going, I think the role players on the Knicks on the road in that hostile environment, they've been up to the task. I like Philly to roll in game three.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, House. Now, the one thing I will say is that this line opened two and you're looking at 4.5. It's always tough when you're getting the worst of it. But you're so confident you're laying 9.5. So like, look, we know Joel Embiid is going to shoot a ton of free throws. We know Tyrese Maxey is going to do what he does. The biggest thing, and we all know this about the NBA postseason, is that the role players tend to play better and shoot better at home. And our role players have not done anything as far as like nothing at all. So I expect that to be better. Obviously, the biggest problem the Sixers have is with their offensive rebounding, their defensive rebounding. Like, the Knicks are rebounding 37% of their misses right now. You can't do that and win in the NBA postseason. So I think if they clean that up, which I think they will a little bit at home, I think they get it done here. Me personally, I'm looking at the alternate series spread because I already took the New York Knicks to win this series at minus 110. Right now on FanDuel Sportsbook, you can get the Philadelphia 76ers +2.5 games, minus 122. The way I see it, we can shoot for the middle here because I think the Knicks are going to win this series just because I don't think Joel Embiid is going to hold up. I think the issues with the defensive rebounding and the transition points are going to continue to be a problem. But I think the Sixers are going to tie this series up. They're going to win games 3 and 4, and then we can shoot for the middle. We got the Knicks to win the series, Sixers +2.5 games. So that's how I'm playing.
So listen, House, I understand the logic on Philly showing up in a big way in game three. And listen, Tyrese Maxey's tough. Kyle Lowry is tough, but they're not meant to. The team as a whole is not mentally tough. That's all there is to it, because they play these games, they find ways to lose. And their best player, and I understand he's hobbled and I know he's not 100%, he's out there playing. He's been a total zero in the fourth quarter in game one and then again in game two. And here's what I know about the Knicks. Now, I'm not betting the Knicks in game three. I'm not, because everything about the spot, situationally speaking, screams Philadelphia. It does. And I understand where you guys are coming from with that. This Knicks team doesn't mail in games. They are not wired the way other NBA teams are wired, where they say, hey, we got, you know, a chance to get 1 or 2. If we're not, the Knicks are going to be scratching, calling like crazy. They are. I think you get better performances out of the role players from the Philadelphia 76ers. And I think my overall cap on this series is this. You know, Raheem, I would not be stunned if Philly won the next two games of this series. I do not think Philly is going to have a better chance to win a Madison Square Garden than they did on Monday night. I don't think they're winning a game in Madison Square Garden. I think the Knicks can absolutely go to Philly and win a game. First of all, the home court advantage won't be as good. You could just tell by the ticket prices. Sometimes, fellas, can tell you the story of what's going down.
No.
That home court, Raheem, there will be 30. Mark my words on this.
Hear me out. 30%
Knicks fans in that building. 30%.
JJ, we're a blue collar city. We don't have as much money as you guys have in New York.
I don't know about that. You go to Lower Merion, they may say otherwise. Although Jalen Brunson already said, no, but we're not from Philadelphia. You said that to me the other day. He was listening to Raheem.
Y'all got Morgan Stanley. Y'all got all the hedge fund guys. We don't have that here. We got blue-collar workers. We just work as hard as we can. It's going to be a home court advantage in Philly, and it's going to be equal with New York. We know this.
But I do think the home court advantage is better at the Garden, though, to be fair. It will be. It's just a more raucous, insane type of event. And that's for the entire league. I mean, what the Knicks have going at Madison Square Garden is special.
I give you that.
It's special.
I give you that.
It
is special.
I mean, what we're really talking about is, what is it, 25 years of pent-up frustration for the Knicks? Like, they've had some teams make the playoffs, but those teams were not as beloved as this team. This team, this New York Knicks team, is the most beloved Knicks team in decades. And so for sure that crowd is showing out. I just want to pick up on your observation, because I do agree with you in one aspect, which is soft-minded, you know, maybe not up to the task mentally. There is one aspect of the Sixers situation that has been very lackluster, and that dude's name is Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse was soft-headed in game one by not having his team foul with significant time left on the clock down five. We just watched in game two how many points are capable of being scored inside of 30 seconds, even if you're down five, because the Knicks scored six, scored eight. But here's the thing. Nick Nurse had the balls to come out after game two and complain about not getting a timeout awarded. How about this, Nick? The time to call the timeout is right when the ball is handed to the dude underneath the basket. That's 101 stuff. He wasn't up.
And how about Kyle Lowry?
That's right.
Kyle Lowry is the veteran presence.
That's right.
You won an NBA title.
That's right.
It's your job. If you're the inbound guy, you have to look at that situation and see Tyrese Maxey is being doubled. You don't want to pass the ball to Tobias Harris. Embiid is on one leg. Call a timeout.
Yeah, that's it.
And not only that, Nick Nurse, maybe get on the court and call the timeout. They're not going to tee up. I've seen other coaches do it. Trust me, we've watched a lot of NBA and college games where you got coaches running on the court, even in the middle of the action, timeout. Because guess what? If you run on the court there, they're going to give you the timeout. I mean,
yeah,
they're not going to not. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I'm with you. And Tobias Harris, they might be putting him on milk cartons in Philadelphia.
No, this is the Tobias Thursday night, Tobias Harris night, Nick Batum night, Kyle Lowry
Batum,
night. All the guys
by the
are
way,
coming out.
We're betting Batum over three-pointers made on Thursday. We're all over that.
Without a doubt.
We were without on it with DiVincenzo on Monday. He bounced back. Batum, I'm playing him at least three threes. I think he will have a big game three. I'm with you on that, House.
We love it.
We just need Joel Embiid to get more than one. He got zero rebounds in the second half yesterday.
Because he can't jump.
That can't happen.
He can't jump.
Somebody's
got
to rebound the basketball.
He can't jump because of the injury. All right, let's get to Nuggets Lakers. Raheem, the Lakers had a golden chance to win game two. They have a 20-point lead. The Nuggets basically went FU mode in the fourth quarter, and they could smell it, and they could taste it. And I don't want to hear the belly aching, like I said, from LeBron after the game. You had a chance to win it. You missed the shot. The Nuggets made the shot. Case closed. Game, set, match. This line is interesting. Denver is very small favorite here in game three. I know there's been Denver dominance over the Lakers. I think the Lakers have a moment on Thursday night. I will be playing the Lakers to win this game. I think they have a moment.
I tend to agree with you, but I do not want to play this game. There's no circumstances in which I can play this game. The Nuggets have owned this team in the same way that LeBron James has owned the Toronto Raptors. This team has won 11 straight games. When you're up 20 points in the second half and you can't close that game out, I don't want to hear anything about the officiating. I don't want to hear anything about anything. You have to win that game, period. And they did not get it done. So the one thing that we've seen from this era of the Denver Nuggets is that they have the best player in the league, and they're the most clutch team in the league. So if you get them down in the last 5 minutes of the game, they are going to close that game out. So there's no way I could take the Lakers in a game where they're laying one and this is supposed to be a close game, because Denver has proven that they can walk this team down.
Yeah, I have no argument with anything that Dream said. I, too, will be staying away because I just can't go against the trend line here of the Nuggets beating the Lakers every single time they play them. I just don't want to be. Now, I understand regression. I understand the logic informing it. But I already have action on the Nuggets winning this series 4-1 and 4-2. And now it looks very much to me like a 4-1 kind of series. So I'm happy with that. But I'm just going to sit back and see if I get an angle on the total. I'm not quite there yet. It's like 216 or so, 216 to 218 on the FanDuel Sportsbook in that area. I might play something. I'm feeling like an under could be at play. The Lakers try and slow it down. The Lakers get to the free throw line a whole bunch of times at home. But that's my only lean on the game, JJ.
You know, one of the things that I think I'm interested in, because FanDuel typically opens these markets, a lot of times they have a market where it's the Lakers to be up 10 points, the Lakers to be up 15 points, and the Nuggets to win. So I'm looking at stuff like that. I also would probably look towards a Lakers first quarter or first half, because a lot of times, even though this is, tends to be priced into the market, a lot of times those teams down 0-2 coming home, they tend to just be energized by the crowd. They're playing for their life. If there's just the best spot for them to perform. So I would be trying to isolate that first quarter, first half, or just be looking for a spot to, you know, probably play this live or something.
Regardless, feeling really good here to House's point about Nuggets in 5 or 6. And we have -1.5 games for the Nuggets in the series, which is looking rather appetizing. Finally, the worst game, hands down, of the Thursday slate. Orlando, Cleveland. House, quickly, you give Orlando any chance of a moment here, or are we looking at a 4-game sweep?
I don't know, and I don't care. It's an auto bet under. The number is 199. I'm not watching 1 second of this. I'm just auto betting the under.
No, thanks. I'm not watching a minute. I'll admit it. Between the draft, the Knicks, I got the Yankees going on. There is no – there might be – there's hockey going on. There's no way I'm getting involved. Sorry, I'm out. I am not in on Orlando. I mean, and I'm not betting it. I'm not watching it. I'm out.
Until the Magic can average more than 20 points a quarter, this is a not watch, but it's an auto bet on the under. Like, you know, until they got to put this number down around 180 to get me to lay off of it.
Yeah, I mean, the Magic, I mean, they score 83 points in game one, 86 points in game two. This is a team that's scoring 90 points per 100 possessions. This is an auto bet on the under. My model actually makes this using playoff numbers, 180. That's how low I have this total. So I agree with it at 199.5. It's a play for me. The one thing I will say that you guys can watch out for, there's an adjustment that can be made. Jonathan Isaac, he's a great defensive player. But if they sub him out for Wendell Carter, gives him a little bit of extra shooting, maybe you see the Magic score a little bit more. There's probably going to be some sharp money on the Magic based on how they perform at home this postseason, I mean, this regular season. However, I think the Cavs still get it done. This is a sweet 5-game series at best.
Boys, when we return, the Phoenix Suns are in a whole lot of trouble, and the Dallas Mavericks responded in a big way. And at least in game two, Kawhi Leonard did not look like Kawhi Leonard. We got all the takeaways, quick hitters from what we saw on Tuesday. That's coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
All right, quick hitter time. We had 3 games on Tuesday. Indiana evened up their series. Dallas evened up their series. Phoenix, with the loss of Grayson Allen, a deplorable second half, and Minnesota just bullying them every which way, they're up 2-0. House, Phoenix dead here, or do they have any pulse getting back in this series back at home 3-4?
They are dead. It is bye-bye time for the Phoenix Suns. And to me, the single biggest reason, first, you know, it's a combo. This is a team that was built with no accommodation whatsoever for any player, any important player to get hurt. So Grayson Allen being out decimates them, annihilates them. But really, really, what is going on with Devin Booker? This is the problem. I don't see him with bounce. I don't see any, jump ability. I don't see any kind of lively legs. I'm missing his athleticism, and he's missing shots. I don't like the Suns one bit. I mean, I think it's time to maybe explore the alt series spread of sweep by Minnesota.
Ooh, what's that pay?
I'm pulling it up right now because I'm curious as well. Because I'm with House, Raheem. I think Phoenix is cooked in this series. Absolutely cooked.
Yeah, I think Phoenix is cooked as well. You know, when you look at the Minnesota Timberwolves, the biggest thing about them is that they have the best defense in the league. And we all know defense travels. And when I look at this Phoenix Suns team, what do they do well? They shoot in the mid-range, but this is not a team that gets to the basket a ton. This is not a team that shoots a ton of threes. And to House's point, Devin Booker doesn't look like the same guy. This guy's shooting 37% from the field, 25% from three. Kevin Durant, it feels like he plays one half of games now, because like during the second half of that game, it was like he was a deer in the headlights. So you could see his age catching up to him. And then I don't know what Bradley Beal is. And then the rest of these guys, you can cut the deck with them. You really could. Minnesota is young. They're hungry. People forget this is their third year in the postseason. They have some experience at this point in time. They challenged the Denver Nuggets last year. You go back to the year before that. They challenged the Memphis Grizzlies. They had them on the ropes. So this is their time now. This is going to be a very short series. I don't know about a sweep. I kind of want to give Phoenix credit and give them one, but I don't know if they're going to be able to get one. So Minnesota's going to, like, this is going to be quick and painless.
-3.5 games, House. You were wondering? +360 for Minnesota.
That's worth some action for sure. I'll put something down on that.
All right. So now that we got that out of the way, let's get to Dallas and the Clippers. Raheem, we had a feeling about this. It was almost reverse Ewing theory because Kawhi Leonard comes back. The team, they look not the same. I mean, Paul George didn't look the same. James Harden didn't look the same. A lot of guys deferring to Kawhi Leonard, who looked sluggish and looked like a guy who hasn't played a whole lot of basketball. I know he's Kawhi Leonard. I know they need him if they want to get to where they want to be. But I think that could end up being problematic here for the Clippers in trying to ease him back into the fold here. They look all out of sorts after what you saw in game two.
Yeah, this was really problematic. You know, Bill Simmons has his Ewing theory. I always say that when you're looking at an all-star caliber player with a high usage and you're trying to reintegrate them back into the lineup, it just puts the team in a bad spot. And this is a guy who hasn't played basketball since March 31st. And you're already up one game in the series. To me, I think they handled this all poorly. Kawhi Leonard played 35 minutes, and he was a -8 in a three-point game. And if you watch that game in the second half, in the third quarter, the Clippers took control of that game. They had a 71-67 lead with 10 minutes left in the game. They bring Kawhi back into the game, and they get outscored the duration of the game and lose. So if you ask me, Kawhi Leonard probably isn't going to be playoff Kawhi Leonard that we're used to seeing. And I think that could really hurt the Clippers for the rest of this series. Now, if you ask me, based on what I've seen thus far, I think the Clippers have looked like the better team. But this is the Clippers. I mean, you look at last night, the Clippers had a better free throw rate, better offensive rebound rate, better turnover rate, shot better at the rim, had more points in the paint, had more fast break points, had more second chance points. They're a deeper roster. But Luka and Kyrie can do Luka and Kyrie things. And you get one extra guy to hit some shots. You get Maxi Kleber. You get PJ Washington. Sometimes that's all that's enough. And I think the Mavericks are going to win this series despite the Clippers being probably the better and deeper team.
So that's interesting to me, Dream, because I thought the decision to bring back Kawhi last night was a strategic one based on a long position here, which is to say the Clippers know that for the purposes of both beating Dallas, but any kind of ambition they have going beyond this series, Kawhi has to be the guy. He has to be front and center. So they protected home court, got that game one win, and then the reintegration of Kawhi. Now, look, you just made the point. They were in this game until the very end. And, you know, that they paid a price for bringing Kawhi back, but I think it was a price that they were willing to pay because they need Kawhi to really win and really make any noise whatsoever. So good investment, I think, from their perspective. I will say this. The way that Dallas took control of the pace of the game, I'm playing unders until further notice. They really ground that game way down to the pace that they like, where, end of shot clock shots by Luka, end of shot clock shots by Kyrie. And then they really only need that one role player. PJ Washington had a good game, but they can rotate between Exum, between DJJ, between Gafford, any one of those guys. Gafford's been kind of marginalized, but you know, and on any given night, matchup wise, they get something out of them. That's their best chance to win the series. It's still, to me, totally up for grabs, 50-50. I'm not ready to fade the Clippers
up
at all.
Up to -150 now, Raheem. -150 for Dallas.
Can I push back on one thing about Kawhi?
Yeah.
Who was the most successful franchise over the last 10 years?
Between those two?
The Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
No, the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry has actually come off the bench 6 times in the postseason. And the reason why is because he was coming back from major injuries. And he's come off the bench. He's come off the bench for Jordan Poole, most recently in their last postseason series against the Denver Nuggets. Everybody, if you're watching this, go look up the stats for that series. Steph Curry came off the bench 4 times in that series. And it didn't bother the rest of the team. And I think that's what's going to happen here with Kawhi Leonard. Because at the end of the day, you can't not play basketball for 3 weeks and you already have a degenerative knee issue and then be thrust into the highest level of postseason basketball. And, you know, much as people mock the Warriors for saying they were light years ahead, I think they were light years ahead in how they handled that situation with Steph Curry. And I don't think the Clippers are handling it properly. So that's something to look out for going forward.
Boys, got a lot more to do. We'll recap what we saw here on Wednesday night. We got best bets still to come, all that and more right here on the East Coast Bias.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Welcome back. And we had a stunner tonight. Did not have on my bingo card the Heat hitting 20-plus threes. Kristaps Porzingis playing to like a minus 30 in the plus-minus differential as Bam Adebayo ate his lunch. And House, here we go again. Those cockroaches, the Miami Heat. Just when you thought we were out, they pull you back in. They are just the... They are the absolute worst team to play in one of these 7-game series. And even without Jimmy Butler, even without Terry Rozier, House, they're even with the Celtics.
It just doesn't matter, JJ. They got that one dude. Coach Spoelstra is still driving that ship down in Miami. And as long as he's upright, Miami has a chance. Because somehow, some way, he whips up a magic potion of 3-point makes, sprinkles it across all those bums, and bam! They're all drained threes. I think I saw one of the stats, and you guys can go through it, and I know Dream has it on his fingertips. The Celtics have given up, 50% 3-point shooting 4 times over the last some number of years, and the Heat have done it to them 3 times or something in the past 2 years. Some crazy number like that. It's a magic thing that the Heat do come playoff time. I have nothing to do but tip the cap, Dream.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say because I watched this Miami Heat team all season long. They shoot 33% from three. They average 12 threes a game. In the postseason, for whatever reason, when they play the Boston Celtics, they're the best three-point shooting team of all time. And they go out there and make 23 threes, shoot 53%. And, you know, Spo was a genius because he ran that Bam and Hero pick and roll, and they torched the Celtics. I mean, just dominated them, took them into the deep waters and drowned them. And then you got Caleb Martin, who becomes a splash brother every time he enters the postseason. So I don't know what else I could say about this Heat team and Eric Spoelstra, but he's clearly one of the greatest coaches of all time.
He is a phenomenal head coach. And guys, I have a bet I want to add in this particular series. Look, I still think at the end of the day, Boston is going to find a way to win. We don't have Jimmy Butler playing. Miami cannot hit 20-plus threes multiple games in this series. I just don't expect that to be the case. But I do think they're going to have another moment in them. And I think this series is going to end up going six games. House, how do you feel about this? Plus 180, Celtics Heat goes six. I think we're getting a sixth game. I do.
I don't have any reason to argue with you on it, because at that price, you're basically just betting 3-point variance one more time. The one thing that we have to remember is that this Celtics team is not capable of adjusting on the fly. So the Heat came in, were in a comfort zone the entire game, and the Celtics did nothing to disrupt the comfort that the Heat experienced. And so, JJ, at plus 180, what you're saying is one more time, the Heat have to come in and knock down an above-average number of threes, an above-average, you know, shooting percentage from the field. Plus 180 is fair comp from my perspective, Dream.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't necessarily like that bet. For me, I think I would rather just play them on the money line for one of these next two games. And you can get, I mean,
what do you think I'm going to be getting at, Raheem? The next two. All right. So game three, I don't like their chances. I feel like it's a bounce back spot for the Celtics. Let's say the Celtics win by 10. What am I getting the Heat at game four?
I mean, right now you're looking at plus 260 for game three. I'm imagining you're probably going to get in that same range unless, you know, the Celtics really blow them out. Maybe you get plus 300 or so. So, like, if you ask me, if the Heat are going to win another game, it's going to come at home. So it's one of these next two games. I don't see the Heat losing games three and four and coming back and winning games five in Boston. I just don't see that happening. I would rather just kind of just pick my spot on one of those games as opposed to playing them in six.
Fair enough. The spot will not be in game three. That I can tell you. And Dream, I know it's been a struggle so far with 100. Got to commend you, though. Oklahoma City, that was too easy. Against New Orleans. Outside of Valachunas getting like 10 easy points at the beginning of the game, Holmgren was incredible. The Thunder looked far more comfortable than they did in game one. That was Cupcake City for you, bro. About time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's very, very easy. You look at this Oklahoma City Thunder team. They got whatever they wanted offensively. You're talking about a team, they had a 131 offensive rating. So they were just cooking with hot fire. And then defensively, they proved that they were been a top five, top 10 defense all year long because they forced turnovers all night long. I think, you know, I'm watching that game. It felt like the Pelicans had like 10 offensive fouls. So they just absolutely dominated. And I think you have to look at this Pelicans team and wonder if people are sleeping on them, because all year long you've heard, oh, this team is too young and young teams don't win. Well, they sliced up a good Pelicans defense, and you have to wonder, are they capable of beating the Dallas Mavericks? Are they capable of beating the Los Angeles Clippers? Because this team looks for real.
My only observation in terms of Oklahoma City, let's see it on the road. Yeah. I'm right there with you, Dream. I mean, they took care of all that business. They proved out top five offensive rating, top five defensive rating, one of a couple teams in the league to fit that parameter. And all of it was on full display tonight. But for a young team, you got to see how they respond on the road. I think they're up to it. I mean, you know, they're fearless. They're extremely efficient. JJ, I can't wait to see what comes next in this series. I don't think I'm ready to put the Pelicans in the ground yet.
I think the Pelicans can go and play spunky and spirited basketball, maybe to go and get themselves a game. But Oklahoma City is going to win this series. You saw game one, they had their scare and they still found a way to win. Looked a lot more comfortable in game two. I see a split in these next two. And then we're looking at OKC probably winning this bad boy in five. But to Raheem's point, that will be a fascinating second round series against the Dallas Clipper winner. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Dallas Clipper winner is right around even money as far as I'm concerned. But This OKC team, they got it humming. They got an MVP candidate. They are a fun watch as we move forward here in the NBA postseason. We come back with best bets before we say goodbye right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
All right, boys, best bet time. We'll have an SGP on the FanDuel Sportsbook website and the app for Lakers Nuggets game number 3, so you want to check that out. House, I kind of have a feeling where you're going with this, but best bet for Thursday, floor is yours.
We love Philadelphia for one night. In addition to my Washington, obviously got to play the Washington parlay, but really, Philadelphia -4.5. I'm parlaying that with the under because I don't think that the Knicks are going to be able to score. If you go under 202.5, Philly -4.5, +236 is that parlay.
Let's go with the Cleveland Cavaliers, Orlando Magic, under 199.5. And we're also going to take the Cleveland Cavaliers on the money line, +108.
All right, I'm going to L.A. I think the Lakers, big moment. I can't see this dominance continuing to the extreme that it has. Too much pride from LeBron. Too much pride from Anthony Davis. They've been right there. I mean, they really have. They played a good first half in game one. They played a great 3.5 quarters of game two, in game number two. I think the Lakers find a way here. I'm going to take the Lakers +1, and I think we'll be looking at a juicy Saturday night, especially because I think the Lakers are going to get the better of the whistle. Notice the trend between Philly and some belly aching. Lakers and LeBron and some belly aching. I think the NBA is going to want some lengthy series here. So give me the Lakers +1. And I'm also getting involved with Mr. Batum. 3+ made 3s. I think he will have a field day back at home for Philadelphia. That's going to do it for East Coast Bias. Remember, SGP Lakers Nuggets. We will be back on Monday on the audio side of things. Back Thursday, first show in the month of May. Good stuff all around. House. Raheem, JJ setting off. Good job by Steph, Tucker, and the gang. Be out. Be good, everybody. Must be 21 plus, 18 plus in D.C., and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, D.C., Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and Vermont. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700, or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side-by-side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.